Is Easter a time when we celebrate by eating more chocolate than we eat the whole rest of the year put together? Any idea how many Easter eggs were eaten last Easter? Any guesses as to how many Easter eggs were eaten in the UK last Easter? Any? 10 million? 35 million? Any advance in 35 million? The estimated figure is actually 80 million. And those are Easter eggs in boxes. That's not all the other wee cream eggs and all the other bits. 80 million! Huge, huge, huge figure. And we eat all this chocolate to celebrate the death of a Jewish man in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. It's a bizarre thing. You couldn't really write it if you wanted to. Strange thing to do. But it's not just something that happened long ago and far away. It did happen long ago and far away, and it is a fact. But it's something that impacts us here and now as well. It's not just something that's relegated to history. Our Christian faith is founded on this historical fact of the death and resurrection of Jesus. But it's not kept in history. It's true for us today. It still impacts us day by day. During the week, I was talking to a lady who told me a story that's probably one of our worst nightmares. She had been into a cafe, had ordered her lunch, got her lunch given to her, was told how much it was, went into the handbag, and there's no purse. Can you imagine the embarrassment? There's no purse there. And she said, "Stephen, I wish the floor had opened up and swallowed me. There's my lunch sitting, and I hadn't a purse to pay for it." And she said she rooted about in the bottom of her bag, and she gathered up enough money to pay for her lunch. She said, "Stephen, I was in despair, but then I found some money in the bottom of my bag." Now, there's probably a whole issue about women's handbags there that we'll not go into, but it was this "but then" moment that she talked about. She said, "Stephen, it just turned. It just turned. But then." Someone has said that Easter is the very greatest "but then" moment. Hope read for us that Luke's account of Easter Sunday morning. The Sabbath is over. The women who were closest to Jesus have gathered up all the spices that they need to embalm his body. His body had been hurriedly put into a tomb on the eve of the Sabbath, and now the Sabbath is over. They go to prepare his body for a proper burial. They have the spices. They carry them to the tomb, but then the stone is rolled away, and there's no body. But then they hear these words that simply say, "He is not here. He's risen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen just as he said he would." There was sadness, there was tears, there was despair, but then there was hope. But then they remembered his words. But then. And that "but then" of Easter has continued ever since. You remember the story of Saul of Tarsus? This man who leads the persecution against the early church. He's going around the countryside gathering up anybody who speaks in the name of Jesus. He's throwing them into jail. He's punishing the church. But then, he meets with the risen Christ, and his life is transformed. And all down through history, that "but then" has repeated itself. People whose lives have been transformed and turned around. People who've been racked with guilt. People who have had no sense of purpose in their lives. People who have just wondered whether life is worth living. The Bible says people who are without hope and without God. But then, they meet with Jesus. They meet with the one who died on the cross for them. They meet with the one who has paid the price for their sin. They meet with the one who has taken their guilt. They meet with the one who has forgiven them. And their lives are transformed. People who are isolated, lonely, hurting. But then they encounter the risen, living Christ who is present with them, who walks with them. The old song simply says, I serve a risen Savior. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Sometimes you will hear, quite often you will hear people discussing and debating the resurrection. Is it right? Is it true? Is it historical? The one thing that no one can discuss and argue about is a life that has been transformed by the risen Christ. People who have been set free from that guilt, people who have found in Jesus Christ the risen and living Savior that he promises to be. But then, two little words, but they change our lives. During the week, at one of our reflections, we sang a beautiful song, simply, There is a Hope. Let me read to you the first verse of that just at the moment. There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day, a glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me the hope of heaven, my highest calling and my deepest joy, to make his will my home. There is a hope that burns within my heart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Sometimes it's our own lives that drag us down. Sometimes it's what's going on around us. Ever since Westminster went into their Easter recess, the B word has hardly been heard. And yet it's still a reality. Still something that needs to be grappled with. In our own little province, we live in political stalemate. This week there's been the callous murder of Lyra McKee and the equally callous attempts to explain it. Just this morning, there have been murderous attacks on Christians worshiping on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka. This world around us is difficult. But then, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. There is hope. There is hope. Not in political settlements, important though they are, right though they are, we need to continually pray for and work towards those political settlements, whether they're here or Westminster or Brussels. But ultimately, our hope is not in a political settlement. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And if we look for our hope in anything or anyone else, we will be bitterly disappointed. No one else, nothing else, can do for you what Jesus Christ has done for you. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Let me read you the second verse. There is a hope that lifts my head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Savior there. Through present sufferings, future's fear, he whispers courage in my ear. For I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. There is a hope because of the but then of Easter. Political settlements may give us a better life for a few years, but only Jesus gives us life that is eternal. Political settlements, no matter how good and right and just they are, finish at the grave. The life that Jesus offers goes past the grave. Many people think that this is all there is to life. So enjoy it. Get out there and make the most of it, because this is it. I think it was the writer Ernest Hemingway who simply said that life is a dirty little trick. You struggle through it and then you die and that's it. But then, Jesus gives us hope that goes beyond the grave. Let me read you the last verse. There is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face. When sufferings cease and sorrows die and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. There is a hope. There is a hope. Because of the but thens of Easter. Because of the but thens that Jesus has put into our lives, there is a hope. And it's not only for this life. Paul, writing to the early church, says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. It is not only for this life, but for the life that lies ahead. But then, changes everything. From something as simple as finding a few coins in the bottom of that bag, to something as amazing as finding forgiveness, as finding life eternal in Jesus Christ. This Easter time, may God bless us. May God bring us to that place where we rejoice in what Jesus has done for us and live as his people. Shall we pray together? The Bible reminds us, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Exalted and resurrected Jesus, we join with this bold declaration of living hope and great joy, for you have risen from the dead, and this but then changes everything. Because of your resurrection, we're neither afraid to die nor to live. We're not hopeless vagabonds wandering on earth. We are hope-filled children of God. We're no longer enslaved to our sins. We are clothed in your righteousness. And those who have gone to sleep in you aren't slumbering. They're rejoicing in your presence. Because of your resurrection, Lord Jesus, you already reign as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all evil dominions, all wicked authorities, all malevolent powers now stand defeated, and one day they will be fully eradicated. Jesus, your death is the death of deaths, and your resurrection is the resurrection of all things. You died for our sin. You were raised for us. Lord, may wonder, marvel, and thankfulness fill our hearts. We are forgiven, we are loved, and we are yours. And all this we pray in the resurrected and reigning name of Jesus. Amen. The choir. I'm going to lead our worship with the anthem, All in the April Evening.